to I Love That For You, the podcast celebrating the late bloomers and trailblazers of all walks of life. I'm Red.
And I'm Kelly.
I was like, where'd you go?
Hi, I'm here. Wait, did you hear me?
No, I all of a sudden it was just like really quiet. And then I was like, are you trying to pull a prank on me? Uh-huh. Like all of a sudden you just leave the group. So
you're not saying it was April Fool's yesterday or anything.
Yes, it was. So Happy April Fool's.
Happy April Fool's. We're ending the podcast. Wouldn't that be funny?
No, I don't. No. I don't like that one. Were you a big April Fool's person?
I wish that I was. I feel like none of my family was ever really a prankster.
Really?
Like, I never got that bug. Yeah. Were you?
I mean, I wasn't, but I definitely grew up in a family of pranksters.
Oh,
so
you did?
Absolutely. So this wasn't an April Fool's thing, but like, for example, on the last day of school, my mom used to always silly string us. And she was so elaborate every single time, because like there would be times where she'd be like, oh, could you help me unload the car with the groceries? Come help me. And so we'd go over, and then from the bag, she'd pull out the silly string and just get us. Or she would like recruit family members and they would like pop out of bushes and start silly stringing us. It was so funny the way she used to do that. My family was a bunch of pranksters. So they used to like pull little pranks and stuff like that. There's a reason I stayed single in Rhode Island for so long. And that's because anytime a guy would call my house, I had such a big family and people were always over. My siblings used to play this game called Talk to My Cousin, and they'd literally pass the phone to a different cousin to talk to. And then they'd be looking for me and they'd be like, oh, yeah, here, I'll get her. So you could talk to my cousin. And then they would pass it to a different cousin and a different cousin. And until somebody finally hung up. And then I never got the phone calls. Silly little things like that. But I...
Nothing crazy, like office level, like with Jim and Dwight.
I mean, I did do the Punderdome, which... Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, you don't know about this?
Wait, what is that?
Yeah, because it got kind of like banned from future stuff.
Wait, what is this?
So I was moving office spaces and I used to share it with like a group of like four other people. I had a limit to how many puns I was allowed to say a day because I just would do it all the time.
Oh, dear.
So on my last day, they said I was allowed to make as many puns as I wanted. And I went, promise. And they were like, yeah, whatever. Bad idea. So I came in early and I like booby trapped the room with different puns. For example, I popped out their control key on their keyboards and they were like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, did you lose control? And
oh, God.
At one point,
this woman a medal.
It was so cheesy. People were like stumbling onto them one by one by one. I set up so many and they were just like, okay, from now on, we're not allowing this to happen again. Because it kept happening throughout the day and I'd forget about different ones I set up. And then other ones I did, like, so one of my coworkers had like a bottle of whiskey that he would just keep for like after work. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. As I was setting this up, I noticed there was a leak in your closet, like where you keep that. And he was like, what? And he opened it up and I had put the vegetable, a leak, in. And he was like, God fucking damn it.
Oh my God. That is your Super Bowl, I feel like.
Honestly, it was like one of my greatest moments. And like people from other departments were coming in to like find other ones. And I had like pictures of different puns on the wall of like Reese Witherspoon, Reese without her spoon, like celebrity based puns. I forget. There was so many I did. Those kind of pranks I like. I don't like the ones that are humiliating. I like more if they're supposed to make you laugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, because there's some pranks where, like, you see it all the time on, like, social media. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, that's going to hurt your relationship the way you're pranking this person all the time and hurting their feelings.
Yeah. It can really, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know which one I hate? I hate the one, the cake smash at weddings.
Oh, absolutely. I made sure that that did not happen. I've got my makeup done. I am not letting that happen.
Exactly. You spend so much money to look your best. You spend so much money on this cake.
Oh,
like
I would have been so mad if he wanted to, too.
Did he?
I was like, absolutely fucking not. You know what I do love is like the corporations. I mean, some of them are better than others, but like I remember Google switched it to com.google and made everything backwards. And like, I want to say maybe a decade ago, I remember that. And then Amazon changed their webpage to look like it was in 1999 again.
Oh, that's funny.
And then like Google Maps did like a Pac-Man one. mm-hmm. Where the map was like you were on the streets with Pac-Man. That was really fun. Like, just stuff like that. I like when the corporations do good ones.
Yeah, or like the fake products that they're like announcing.
Yeah, like hamburger toothpaste. I remember Burger King did that.
Oh god, that was so gross.
Ridiculous. Yeah, hamburger toothpaste. There was like real estate for cats and dogs, I remember.
I would honestly go for that over my own real estate because my god, I can't afford.
I mean, can anybody?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, I just love when we're able to joke around and have a good sense of humor about things. Yeah.
I was pissed when Boston University, when I was doing my MBA, they sprung a pop quiz on us in my finance class, and I almost had a fucking heart attack. And they're like, okay, April Fool's. We were like, oh my god, thank god. I didn't realize it was April Fool's.
I mean, that was just after the heart attack. It's like, oh, thank god. It's like the sense of relief that comes from that.
Teachers, it's probably like their Super Bowl because they probably do a lot of that, I imagine. Just a lot of like pop quizzes, and it's just like, I bet teachers live for this day. They probably have so much fun.
Oh, I'm sure.
So do you have a prankster that we're doing today?
Well, actually, there is one man I thought would be most appropriate to highlight today because I don't think he actually likes the holiday.
Huh.
And that's because when it comes to fools, he pities them. That's right. Today we are focusing on one of the most well-recognized style icons of the 1980s, the actor, entertainer, and so much more. I, of course, am talking about the one and only Mr. T.
Red, you fooled me for sure.
I had a feeling. I was like, I was teasing this out for Kelly for a little bit, and I was like, oh, it's gonna tie in. And she's like, who's a famous prankster? And I was like,
I mean, all I think of is like fucking MTV and Ridiculousness, like rock right? music. But that's just like them like falling over on their own accord. He's not the one like doing the Ashton Kutcher with Punk'd, obviously.
Well, that's a good one too. I figured Mr. this T's would have better. Something a little bit more literal. Plus, also, to be honest, I didn't know that much about Mr. T.
I don't either. I'm excited for this.
I just was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, and oh my god, also again, with my classmates being so young, I made a reference to Mr. T and they went, who?
Oh, no.
And I was just, like, gutted. Because, like, again, how do you not know, like, I pity the fool. How do you not know? They don't know, for sure.
God.
So, yeah, talk about feeling like a fool sometimes. We're going to go back to the beginning of Mr. T's journey. A man who is not quite the fool. So, he was born Lawrence Terrard on May 21st, 1952. And he was one of 12 children.
Stop it. Mm-hmm. 12? His poor mom.
Yep, because he had 4 brothers and 7 sisters, and they were raised in a 3-bedroom home in the public housing project Robert Taylor Homes in the south side of Chicago. I can slightly remember at one point living in a 2-bedroom home with my parents and my 3 siblings, and I thought that was crowded.
Yeah.
Imagine 12 other people. And I'm saying 12 because when Mr. T was 5, his father, who was a minister, would actually end up leaving the family. It was Mr. T who at this point.
Ministerly of him?
No. But he was now going by Lawrence Tarot, apparently. It was him, his mother, and his 11 siblings. Like, damn.
Anxiety.
The other thing, too, was that it was a tough neighborhood, too. And basically, he witnessed crimes of all kinds of nature. And that's why he aspired to do something more with his life. South side of Chicago, the city's still pretty, unfortunately, segregated. Not like it's enforced, but it's just, unfortunately, the housing there and opportunities. There's such a history with it that it's still being dealt with today. And the South Side was definitely one, unfortunately, where there were higher crime rates and things like that, just because people there were more desperate. I'm not saying it's a race thing. I'm saying it's just a class disparity. And unfortunately, that was what he grew up with. So during high school, he was actually described as a constant daydreamer, which led to him being like an average student academically, but he really excelled in sports. So while he was studying at Dunbar Vocational School, he studied martial arts. He became the citywide wrestling champion 2 years in a row. And he was such a football star that he won a football scholarship to Prairie View A&M University, where, of all things, he actually started majoring in math.
What?
It's not that he's not smart. He just was more of a daydreamer. So he did average for academics, but he actually was pretty intellectual, but he just didn't really apply himself to school. Unfortunately, he was expelled after his first year, and I tried to find out why, and the closest thing I could find was that there it looks like he was involved with some kind of protest, and there was some destruction of property that happened. A few students were actually expelled, and I'm not sure what they were protesting against. I think it had something to do with one of the administrators and some of their policies or something, and I'm curious what this more is, but again, I can only speculate. It's really hard, actually, to find a lot of things about Mr. T, surprisingly.
Well, that is so weird. You would think
right?
It's so documented.
But I think it's more, he was, again, growing up 1950s, 1960s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so especially with that, and also we're in the civil rights movement, stuff like that. And actually, so here's something I didn't know, and I find this super interesting. At the age of 18... he was really frustrated with the lack of respect given to Black men. I have a quote here from him that says, "As a Black man growing up in white society, I watched my father being called boy, and he was a preacher. I watched my brother coming back from the Marines of Vietnam and being called boy. I watched enough Black men in my family being called boy, so I point to the fact, what does a Black man have to do to get respect as a man? So either this is when he took the nickname, or it is when he actually did it, but apparently he legally changed his name to Mr. T."
What?
Yeah.
His first name is Mr.
His
real?
First name is Mr. He says his middle name is period and his last name is T, and even confirmed it on Conan O'Brien in 2017.
I thought this was just the nickname. This is his legal name.
Yep. And I don't know if like he did it later or once it became like so synonymous or that was the nickname, but he started going by Mr. T at the age of 18. And then at some point in his life, it's his legal name, like on documents.
My God.
I was like, what?
I did not know that. That makes me
that like blew my mind when I heard that. I was like, are you kidding me? And I can't find anything that says the contrary because he's spoken out about the fact that, yeah, this is my legal name. That's what it says on my documents. And I can't find anywhere else where he's going by that name. So it's like, okay. It's so funny. After he left Prairie View A&M, he went through actually a couple of quickly changing career paths over the next decade. So first he worked as a gym instructor for a government program in Chicago. And that's where he said he discovered he had a gift for helping children, and that would actually come up throughout the rest of his life. But unfortunately, the program lost its funding. So then he enlisted in the United States Army in 1975, and he served in the military police corps. And apparently there's a story here too, where as a punishment for something he did while serving, he had to chop down trees. I think he said he was like in the Midwest or something like that. And so apparently, and I found this in multiple articles, so again, maybe this is just like folklore, but apparently over a 3.5 hour span, Mr. T supposedly cut down 70 trees.
Stop.
Before the person who made him do the punishment was reprimanded. Apparently, like fun facts of Mr. T, I was like, what? 70 trees. Now, granted, I'm imagining these are smaller trees too, because 70.
I'm thinking huge, like, I'm thinking lumberjack huge ones, but yeah.
It's crazy to think, like, 70 trees in 3.5 hours.
How wasteful, though. That makes me
sad. I mean, and I didn't really go into this, but there was a point where he cut down, like, a ton of trees on his property or something like that, and it really angered his neighbors. He's not, like, without his controversies and stuff like that, but we'll get to it. After he was discharged in the late 1970s, he tried out for the Green Bay Packers for the NFL, but he actually failed to make the team due to a knee injury.
He would be good for the NFL too.
Honestly, he would have been. But once again, he needed to find a new job, and this next choice would surprisingly lead to his fame and fortune. And that's because Mr. T became a bouncer.
Like Roadhouse.
Like, right. I'm like, oh. Like, because I was like, oh, he went into acting or something. No, he started as a bouncer. And apparently he worked at a place called Dingbats Discotheque. I'm like, are you kidding me? Apparently. I don't know if he stayed there or if he just kept switching, but mainly his task was to keep out drug dealers and users. And he claims to have been in over 200 fights.
Oh my God.
Mr. T is like such like a, he reminds me of like, you know, Paul Bunyan, like that kind of level of just like, how much of this is true? But like, there's nothing that we can find to like contest it. And in fact, he actually was sued for quite a number of fights.
I believe it. Where they found it, I hope, at least.
Oh, he ultimately would win in the litigation and everything because they were justified. But there is so many of them. Working as a bouncer is also where he would develop his signature style. So he began wearing gold chains and other jewelry because they were left behind by people at the club.
That's where it comes from.
Right. And like some people he fought and stuff like that, he would like keep the jewelry. And then he also saw a picture of the Mandinka warrior people. So it's a South African ethnic group. And he saw them in a National Geographic magazine. And he decided it was a powerful look and statement to adopt. So that's why we know him to have that signature hairstyle that he still rocks to this day.
That's where it comes from.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So much.
Right? I was like, oh, I didn't even think, like, because again, it just seemed cool, but it had to come from somewhere. And yeah, so it was from a National Geographic image that he saw of this group of people in South Africa. And he was like, well, that's really powerful as a black man to rock this hairstyle. Like, he was very aware of, like, statements that he was making with all these different things. That's why I was very surprised to see, like, it wasn't just, like, a fun 80s thing. There was actually a lot of intention behind it.
You go, Mr. T.
Well, here's the thing. He proved to be such a good bouncer that apparently when celebrities came to his club, which again, I don't know if it's Dingbats or a new club that he's at, but he made a really good impression. So much so that he also began working as a bodyguard to a variety of celebrities, including Steve McQueen, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, and really interestingly, Muhammad Ali.
What? Like,
even boxers apparently need bodyguards.
I mean, if there were anybody that I'd want, I guess, yeah, it would be Mr. T.
I'd want Muhammad Ali to protect me.
Well, okay,
I mean,
obviously Muhammad Ali, but he's off duty. That's what he does for work. He needs a break. He needs a break sometime.
So,
wow, that's crazy. Did he ever have to, like, get in some shit for people?
I'm sure he did. Again, he's not the celebrity in this moment. He's not the one that they're focusing on. Like, how many bodyguards do you know nowadays? In the late 70s, during this time, he actually had an opportunity to appear in a bouncer competition show.
Yup,
it was a televised thing as part of another, like, game series. And the show, or the segment, was either called America's Best Bouncer or World's Toughest Bouncer. Some of the tasks included throwing a 150-pound stuntman. He had to break through a 4-inch door, and then he had to square off with another bouncer. I mean, this is just what I don't even know if you modern day, if they even allowed something like this, what do you think the competition would be nowadays?
I mean, I think there's too many lawsuits. You couldn't do any of this shit.
That's what I mean.
WWE, right?
It'd probably be like, okay, check the IDs.
Yeah, check the IDs and know your birth dates and signs and astrological shits. Like, I guess.
He actually won the competition twice. And he got a $3,000 prize, which again, inflation, this is actually quite a bit of money. But he actually donated it to charity each time. He could afford to do this. Like, don't be too like, oh, wow, he's... Because he was charging celebrities $3,000 a night to bodyguard them. So he was like, this is like chump change. So
Jesus. Do I need to become a bodyguard? Should I start weightlifting?
I would pay to see that. however, the best prize of all was that this competition show caught the attention of one Mr. Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, he was
looking to cast the villain for Rocky III.
Yes.
And not only was he really impressed with the performance Mr. T gave, but he really liked this line that Mr. T said before he boxed with the other bouncer during an interview. He said, "I just feel sorry for the guy who I have to box. I just feel real sorry for him." After he was cast, I believe it was Sylvester Stallone who actually wrote the iconic line Mr. T would be known for, inspired by that line where he said, "I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool."
Yes, iconic.
Right? And here's what's crazy. The movie would launch a week after his 30th birthday.
Oh my God, what a good birthday present.
Right? And a star was born. Because again, think about this too. Like, we're talking 30 years old. And after like a decade of trying to figure out, what are you doing? What am I going to do? All this other stuff. It's not until like the late 1970s that he's finally like, oh, wait, maybe there's something here.
It's a late bloomer.
Yeah. Especially for like back then where it was like, okay, you need to figure this shit out. Like you're already 30. Like that was like.
That's still the pressure today, I feel like.
I do. I think we're a little bit better about it. But yeah, especially back then it was like 30. Isn't that 50?
Yeah, you're like an old maiden, at least if you're a woman.
Honestly. So, taking advantage of his newfound fame, Mr. T landed a starring role in Joel Schumacher's 1983 box office hit, DC Cab, and even got his cartoon series, Mr. T, which he spelled Mr., not M-R, period, and Mr. T was the owner of a gym of young athletes who fought crime and solved mysteries. There's, like, clips of it online. It's so cute.
Aww.
But the franchise he was known best four would begin airing in 1983. And of course, I'm talking about the A-Team.
Yes!
For you youths that don't know what this is.
Yeah, they don't know. They definitely don't know.
It was a TV show that ran for 4 years about four former members of a fake U.S. Special Forces unit who become soldiers of fortune while trying to clear their names of a crime they didn't commit. It's like a typical like kind of heist kind of thing where each person had their own role. And like, Mr. T, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, it's like Fantastic Four or like Marvel?
Kind of. Where it, like everybody is so like distinctive in each of their parts of a team.
Yeah.
So Mr. T played Bosco B.A. or Bad Attitude Baracus, who was the team's strongman, mechanic, and scaredy cat when it comes to flying in a plane, which would then create his signature line, I ain't getting on no plane. There was like a running gag throughout the show. Like there was merchandise that had I ain't getting on no plane as like a thing. And they would have like these various like hijinks of getting him to get on the plane.
That's like drug him.
Yeah, honestly, I think that was one of the ways that they did it. They would just find different ways to like get him on the plane. And the show became
huge behemoth, can't get on the plane.
Right. Well, I think that was part of the humor.
Yeah, that's a joke, yeah.
And the show became a huge hit, but you know what is so funny? Mr. T never said, I pity the fool in the series.
Wait, is this, what's that thing, the Mandela effect?
Right, where you would think, no. He would use it so much in his other works that we just synonymously put it with that. But no, he never said, I pity the fool in the A-Team.
Whoa, Mandela effect. Because I thought that's where it came from. But Rocky.
Nope, it comes from Rocky 3. And he never said the line in the show.
Oh my God. I bet you a lot of people think he does.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they think that that's where it comes from.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Whoa. Okay. Did not know this.
So, again, he would gain a reputation as an advocate and role model for young people, and he began aiming his work towards helping youths. So, like, in 1983, he released a music album called Mr. T's Commandments that encouraged kids to make good choices. And
Snoop
apparently
Dogg has that, too.
Right?
It's amazing. I love it. Actually, it's a banger. It's, like, for
honestly,
kids,
all of them. I've heard some of them. And I'm like, wait, why is this still
good?
So good?
I would listen to it without kids. It's so so good.
He followed the success of the album with a motivational video and film soundtrack called Be Somebody or Be Somebody's Fool. And it basically was aimed at encouraging kids to make responsible decisions.
Love.
In 1985, he began a whole new career path again as a wrestler.
Oh my God, of course. It had to happen.
He was partnered with the, I don't know how we would say this, notorious, infamous, well-recognized WWF wrestler Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
So they were paired up.
Kids wouldn't know this, but yeah. He's pretty big deal.
But for WWF's WrestleMania, the two of them were like a duo. And
WWF or WWE then?
It was still WWF at this point because, the lawsuit that with the wildlife.
Yeah.
that wouldn't come until later. So at this point, it's WWF. Okay. It would eventually become WWE. Yeah. But for the timing, just to show when this was.
Yeah.
It was WWF's WrestleMania. Hulk Hogan actually credits him with saving the show because of the popularity of him and bringing in other audiences. While some people actually didn't like him, actually between both industries, because they felt he hadn't paid his dues. I feel like that's a little...
What was the makeup of the wrestling like community? Was he the one of the few black men, or was there a good...
No, it wasn't about race. It was more about the fact that the thing was they actually created like a WWF boxer for him to be, which is not wrestling.
Okay. Got it.
So, but because of who his character was in Rocky, he just, it became like what he was known for. And like, there was also discussions about how like some of the actors on the A-Team didn't really like that he wasn't like a trained actor, which he dispels those rumors. But at the same time, I'm sure there probably was a little bit of that because he's this guy coming from the South Side of Chicago. He's never been an actor or like a trained boxer. He just was a bouncer. So he can hold his own. And he has such a strong personality that of course that comes through.
Absolutely. Larger than life.
Right. They were just jealous. I think it's the worry that sometimes newcomers coming in who don't know like the world of wrestling or don't know like how a set is run and scenes, like when you have to play off that, because both of them, they have to play off a character. If you're against somebody playing off of someone who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, I can get that frustration. But I don't think that's the case with Mr. T.
No.
I think he's someone who worked really hard to be who he was and do what he did. And
saved
like
WrestleMania. Apparently.
That's what Hulk Hogan thinks anyways. And like they actually won that competition.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Yeah, they were the winner of that year. And he would actually also be inducted into the WWE's Hollywood Celebrity Wrestle Hall of Fame, because again, he wasn't technically like other wrestlers. Right. So they have like a celebrity wing of it. And he was inducted in, I think, 2014, because he really did make an impact. I mean, he would do various WrestleManias in the 80s. And actually, on my birthday, literally the year and everything, so I'm not going to say what that is, but he made an appearance in the World Class Championship Wrestling, the WCCW. And he was seconding Kerry Von Erich, who people are talking about now because of the Iron Claw movie.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. So the one,
by the way,
I haven't. It's too sad for me. Jeremy Allen White would play Kerry Von Erich in the Iron Claw movie. And that's who Mr. T actually was with. So it's like weird how like all these connections kind of come back together. And
I guess it makes sense. Yeah, it was the same time period. But wow.
Whoa, yeah, I mean, that was. I'm not saying what year that was, but it was during the 80s, maybe. Or 90s. Who knows? Because again,
we don't give up.
Yeah, it was clearly last year. No, I'm kidding. The other thing too is that Mr. T also was married in 1971. But it's confusing because there's so little about his wife, Phyllis Clark. It's really hard to find out anything because they would have three children together and he would actually have one more outside of the marriage, which might explain why they apparently became divorced. But I was finding articles online too that were like, oh, is she still alive? And then people being like, she passed away, but I couldn't find like confirmation. And even though I wasn't able to find more, I have a feeling it might be that she wanted that privacy. And that also could have been why there's not that much known about her and why she probably separated from him, because one of his three children with her, Erica Clark, is actually a stand-up comedian. She's actually very well spoken. She also was a Moth Grand Slam winner. So if you know the Moth, like, right? So she was a winner of that. She's just a very, I think she's really well-spoken, really insightful, and speaks about the realness of having such a famous dad. Like, apparently she has this story where she sent the filthiest text to him instead of a partner named Dave. She sent it to Dad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Imagine sending Mr. T an accidental dirty text.
God, I would die. I would die.
They never really talked about it. There's an article that she was in, and she talks about how they're kind of estranged because also he never really wanted his kids to go into entertainment.
I understand why.
It's not easy. It's not fun. And you have to work really hard at it. And I'm guessing that also is why there's so little about the rest of his family, because he wanted them to be more private. Probably their mom wanted them to be more private. So again, it was just very sheltered. Right. In 1995, he actually was diagnosed with T-cell lymphoma, and he said about it, can you imagine that? Cancer with my name on it. Personalized cancer.
Anything though, I guess. How poetic.
That reminds me of my mom when she was dealing with cancer. She always like would make jokes about it because again, it's really scary. And thankfully, both he and my mom are in remission, not together, but he's been in remission and he's allegedly writing a book about how it changed his life called Cancer Saved My Life, in parentheses, Cancer Ain't For No Wimps. It hasn't been released yet, as far as I can tell, but he referenced it while he was competing in Dancing with the Stars in 2017.
Wait, it still hasn't been released?
I couldn't find it.
I wonder what happened.
I think it's been like a project. He's also been very busy still. Like, it's so surprising because he still is involved in so many different projects. And like, okay, so he's still known for his hair and speaking in rhymes and talking in third person because Mr. T loves to talk about Mr. T. But he actually gave up his gold chains after helping with the cleanup of Hurricane Katrina. He said, "As a Christian, when I saw other people lose their lives and lose their land and property, I felt it would be a sin before God for me to continue wearing my gold. I felt it would be insensitive and disrespectful to the people who lost everything. So I stopped wearing it."
Oh, wow. And he just continued.
Well, actually, he sold, I think he had like 400 pieces of necklaces, like gold chains and other jewelry, and he donated it to charity.
I was about to say, I hope he donated it to charity.
He did. He did. Okay, he wasn't raising it for himself. Wow. And he has become a born-again Christian. Obviously, from the quote, we can see his faith is very important to him. Honestly, while I'm not a very religious person, organized religion for me is not my thing. I'm a spiritual person. There's that Daniel Tosh joke about, like, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And I like to reply with, I'm not honest, but you're interesting. So bad. Again, like, just because it's not for me, though, for someone like him who has led such an extraordinary life, it seems as though it's helped him find his peace with the world and his place in it. The struggles he went through, trying to figure himself out and where he stood in a place that was pretty segregated, and going through all those different decades and being someone who was so visually like a strong Black man. It's not to say like it was all easy. And people made it easy for him. He literally had to fight his way through so many different things that to find comfort in that. I mean, I think something like that is really lovely. Where if religion brings you peace, I'm all about that. I'm just not about religion that tells you you have to live your life this way in order to be saved or something like that. Or like, and I'm not about
tell your sins to like some third party. Oh, just do it directly. Girl,
I tell my sins all the time on this podcast. Like, yeah, we're not, exactly. Let's not kid ourselves.
Like, but I don't need to tell a third party. Like, I can say
I don't need to myself. Be forgiven for the things that I've chosen to do with my life. I'm not living a life. Some people would say it's a life of sin. Like, I'm still a 30-year-old woman who, and I'm saying 30.
You be single.
Yeah, how dare I, like,
and have
you know.
Sex and not be married.
What?
You harlot. Charlatan, right? Whatever the word
is. I'm pretty sure it's harlot. Charlatans are like harlot. The. Yeah. Pretty sure that's like a con man.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I just don't like when religion not only tells you that you have to be a certain way, but then also treats others like the whole point of religion is to basically, in my opinion, all religions are all saying don't be an asshole. Yeah. And then when people use religion to be an asshole, then I'm like, that's not for me. So
amen.
Yeah, and I feel like it's splitting hairs, too, about some of this stuff, too, where it's like whether or not Jesus was as prominent a figure or whether or not, like, you go to mass or you go to a synagogue or you, like, where you start judging people for being that way. And it doesn't sound like he's that kind of person. It just sounds like that's something that's very personal to him and it's helped him in his life. And so that, I think, is really lovely. As we know, he's made many parodies of his trademark catchphrase. So also I need to be a little careful how often I'm using it in this podcast because it is trademark. And he still makes TV appearances, including just this past Super Bowl. He was in a Skechers ad. And
the perfect ad guy.
Honestly. And he just continues to stay in shape and seems to be living the life as he damn well pleases. So all in all, I will say this. Mr. T, I don't pity you, fool. I love all this for you.
Love this for you, Mr. T.
Mr. Dot T.
So is it Mr., like, on his birth certificate, is Mr. period T or is it Mr. dot T?
It's period. Like, it's the actual symbol period.
Oh, like, it, but it's not, like, written
He
out.
Didn't write
it's
out the word period.
P-E-R-I. Okay, because I was...
Also, he didn't even put Mr. M-I-S. It's M-R.
It's literally M-R dot
T.
T.
Apparently, like, I granted I couldn't find his birth certificate or legal documents, but apparently from what I could tell and researching all the articles, so if it's not actually true and he's just saying this on public television and making these claims and articles are printing this, I'm just saying what I'm finding. So Mr. Dot T.
Red. Amazing. Love. This was unexpected, but so perfect. Could not have been better.
What a great April Fools.
Or April
Not Fool.
April Not Fools. I have some silly, very silly. Do we love this or that?
Yay. I'm excited.
Do we love giving someone as a prank a meatloaf cupcake or a mashed beans brownie?
I'm gonna go with
surprise people more.
I know I'm going with the taste, because even though it's not a cupcake, I'd still go with the meatloaf because it's pretty tasty.
Yeah,
that bean brownie sounds gross.
I know, and that's a thing. I think black beans are a popular ingredient for like vegans now, and I just don't. I couldn't.
No,
like Sean's vegan, but I'm sorry, I'm on a real fucking brownie. Don't fuck with my chocolate. But I mean, because I'm not a meat girl, I'd be so pissed.
True, that would be really fucked up for you because that's like I don't eat meat, but for me.
Figure out, like, wait, I was expecting a sweet cupcake, and now what the fuck is this?
I mean, but I'm also, like, if I'm craving it, then I'm really pissed. But if it's, like, oh, sweet or savory, I'm not mad about either of those. But you said give or receive.
Well, okay, so give, but, like, which would you rather... Or, well, so that was that receive? You would rather get...
I'd rather receive the cupcake, but I'd probably give the brownie.
Yes.
Not because I want to, but knowing, like, for example, if I'm pranking you... dietary stuff, I have to go with that because that's safer. But if I know the person eats meat, I'm totally doing the meatloaf one.
Yeah. I would rather get the brownie, but I would also rather
Give it like mashed potato icing. I'd go all out with that cupcake.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that someday. Just
you
watch.
Should, right?
In my future with my kids. Those silly string and meatloaf cupcakes. That's my future.
Very innocuous. Or you could do like a cake, but it's like a sponge. That would be fucked up.
Or the opposite, where it's like it looks like a sponge and then it's a cake.
Oh yeah, it's like, is it cake? Okay, do we love wearing a clown nose for the rest of your life or mustache glasses for the rest of your life?
I'm going with mustache glasses.
I would agree.
Like the clown nose, are you going to be wearing the clown nose like at all times?
Yeah, I mean, both of them. Well, I guess in this case, though, it's for the rest of your life, but it's also with the mustache is the thing. The mustache is attached to the glasses.
You know what? I'm actually going to go with clown nose because
really?
I don't know if I want to wear glasses like the rest of my life because I like my contacts.
That's going to be tough during like any intimate well, I guess either one would be.
Because also, dating. I don't really wear my glasses during that.
Right.
It's more of the glasses part that bothers me, not the mustache, which is kind of fucked up.
The glasses are cute. But the mustache is the thing that would bug me, I think.
No, like, I think, well...
eating would be annoying with all
that's true, too.
Yeah.
And, like, as someone who has worn clown noses just for various reasons, not sexual, calm down. it's actually kind of fun, and then you kind of forget it's there, like your nose. So then you're like, why are people looking at me?
I think, the nose is a little less intrusive, even though it sounds crazy to say. But like, right. It's really that mustache that really does a number for me.
It's the combination of the glasses and the mustache for me.
Yeah, I think it's nose. In front of your class, which we love. You sitting on a whoopee cushion someone put there, or slipping on a banana peel in front of the whole class.
Whoopee cushion.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
I'm sorry, I'm getting to that point. I'm older. That could actually really hurt with the banana
out
peel.
Your hip.
Yep. Plus,
it's a true thing. It absolutely is.
Honestly, and like, I have zero qualms about farting in front of people. Listen, if it happens, it happens. And I can be like, well, shouldn't have had those beans for lunch. Like, again, it's a classroom. Like, I'm not going to care. And also, like, I'd probably play it off like, ooh, that was a good one.
Okay, I guess last one. This one's kind of fucked up and mean, but... do we love you playing the prank that you're breaking up with somebody or having someone play the prank that they're breaking up with you? Which side of it would you rather be on? And then also, how would you react after, depending on which side?
I know. I'm thinking about which one. Cause...
Like the movie where like the father runs away when there's like an avalanche from the family. And it's like...
I think I'd probably want to be the person doing the prank.
Yeah.
Because I think I would do it in a way where I'd probably be like actually like nice about it. I would be so heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like if somebody did that to me. Oh, we'd be breaking up afterwards. Like, and I would expect if I'm doing it to someone else, they may break up with me. And that's why I would be so nice about it. But sometimes if someone's doing that, they're not. And so if I'm with somebody who treats me like that, because also, why are you pretending?
What if your gentleman from back home, let's just say it that way. What if, because you guys are so close and have a good relationship. What if you were together, just say that. What if he did that on April Fool's, knowing that you're a jokester, you like to have fun. Would you be so pissed at him for doing that? Or would, when he says April Fool's, would you be like, oh, phew, okay.
To be honest, for him, he'd probably be really bad at it.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He'd
so
probably
would
really...
Or would he
I'd probably pick up that it was a prank.
Oh, okay, you would know.
Yeah, just because, again, we have like a good friendship and stuff, that he'd probably be like, yeah, so I think we need to break up because it's just, you know, I think we're better as friends. And
I have an allergy.
And he would be like really like sweet about it too. And I'd be like, oh, wait, what? And then I'd be like, wait, what's today?
Yeah.
What's today? And he'd be like, damn it. Like, that's how I would literally picture it. And I think that would kind of be how I would be with him too. Right. Be trying. And he'd be like, why are you smiling during a break? You're pranking me, aren't you?
Yeah,
oh, fuck,
right?
It's April Fool's. And I'd be like, fuck.
Because then I would say your relationship needs to be deeply examined if, like, they really, like, go at it hard. It's like, were you thinking about this long and hard? Like, you have a whole
Like, what would happen if Sean did that to you?
Oh, my God. Well, I would know it's a prank because he says that he loves me more than I love him. Which is not true. I love him. We love each other equally. But I would be like, this is coming out of nowhere because you just always say how much you love me, like, every day, and then to 180 this much. I'd
yeah.
be like, this is a prank. What is up with you? I would rather break up because I could, you know, handle it instead of being at the
right
other side of it. Yeah.
Because, like, that's the thing, too. Because I am single, I don't know what to anticipate from somebody. You
right.
know, how they right. would do that. And that would just be so scarring. And then to be like, oh, it's a prank. And it's like, you're really going to play with my... We'd probably break up for real.
Oh,
if it's somebody
exactly.
who's like new.
Oh my God. I want to know if that's a... I want to see if there's like data about things that have happened.
Oh, there's definitely these videos of people who have done that. And they've definitely broken up.
Or like the proposal or like gone wrong.
Oh,
like,
I love the ones where guys like, oh, we need to break up. And it's like, oh, okay. I've been thinking the same thing. It's like, wait, what?
Or he gets down on one knee, like Jim and Pam going back to the office, mm-hmm. and he's pretending he's proposing, but he's just tying a shoe.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be grounds for breaking up. Or well,
no, because that one's kind of funny.
That's
like, it could
cute.
Be really
yeah,
cute, where
I
it's like, they like hold your hand, they look up at you, and they're like, okay, I'm a shoelace. And you're like, God fucking
yeah, yeah,
damn
yeah.
it.
Fuck you, but also
yeah.
adorable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I can see that happening for your proposal.
Honestly, yeah, honestly. Or I'd be like, okay, is this a prank?
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah, yeah. But the person you'll end up with would have a good sense of humor. I feel like
they have to
humor.
Have a good sense of humor. I can
yeah.
never be with someone who's like so serious
yeah.
that we couldn't have fun like
yeah.
every day. And that's the thing. Like, I think I also need to be with someone who's emotionally intelligent. So like, their jokes aren't mean-spirited. That's why I'm like, okay, well, I know for myself, I'd be like really struggling to do the fake breakup, but I'd be kind about it as much
right.
as I could be.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like go hard and be like, you suck, you're lousy in bed, all
yeah.
these things. Like, I would never be like that to someone who I was even pretending to break up with.
Yeah, that's fucked up. That
yeah.
has grounds for a breakup. For
but
sure.
some people do that. I'm sure there's videos
Ugh.
Out
I
there.
I want to know, has anybody done this? Please write in. We want
yeah,
to
let us know. If
know,
you...
know somebody who's done this to somebody.
If you have...
Pod.
Yeah, we want to hear all the results. Like,
yeah.
if it's like all of a sudden, it's like, that's how I knew he was the one. I'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Something
I love
like that.
freepod@gmail.com. Seriously.
Yeah, please let us know or reach out to us on our socials. Obviously,
yes.
I love that for you pod on huh? Instagram. Find us on Facebook, all that. And
Yay.
Just let us know. And also, if you have other pranks that you guys like
yes,
that people
please.
Have either done, if you guys send those in, we'll try and share them later during the year when we need a little pick me up.
Absolutely.
Of pranks we could do. Maybe we'll try executing a few of them during the year. Not on April Fool's Day, just to
yeah.
throw people off.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It doesn't have to just be April 1st, guys. It could be any day.
Yeah. There's no limit to when you can have fun.
Well, we love you guys.
Love you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on I Love That For You. Our theme song is by Vaudeville and used with permission. Our cover art is by Jenny Lamb, edited to the best of our abilities by Kelly and Red. If you want us to spotlight someone, have questions, or just want to say hi, email us at ilovethatforyoupod@gmail.com or join us on Instagram at I Love That For You Pod to join the Love Fest and see what else we get up to. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically wherever else you listen. We appreciate all your love, and if you want to help support the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. This helps us spread the love and reach more people. Thanks for listening. We love you.